Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of Christ Died for Us. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we talk about Christ dying for us, we often miss, I think, all that was involved in that act. Because we are unfamiliar with crucifixion, we miss how horrendous a death it actually was. Because we don't spend much time meditating on the sufferings of Christ, we miss what was going on when Jesus cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And because we are limited in our ability to comprehend things that pertain to the eternal, we can't fully grasp the idea of Christ suffering an eternal judgment for our sins. But these are the things that we need to get a better understanding of so we can have a greater appreciation for all that Christ has done for us and a more appropriate response to Him in worship. You know, I hate it that sometimes my heart is just so hard. I hate it that sometimes I can just read about it or talk about Jesus dying on the cross and not have that, you know, in some way prick my heart or move me to thanksgiving. I hate that, but it's a reality. And I realize that part of the problem, at least for me anyway, is just a failure to really take the time and to think it through. And to meditate, and to really, you know, in some ways, just try to put yourself there in that scene to understand what was really going on. You know, the Bible is so interesting because the Bible tells us profound things with few words. Have you noticed that? But there were details that transpired when all of these events occurred. And this is where, as we would take the time to meditate over these things and to, you know, think them through more thoroughly, this is where I think we can enter more deeply into it. And as a result of that, have a greater appreciation, as I said, for what Christ has done for us, and a more appropriate response to Him in worship. So I want to just go back over and look at some of the aspects of what it means that God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And I want to begin by looking in a little more detail, or just reminding you maybe a little more thoroughly of some of what Jesus went through physically in his suffering for us. You know, when we say Jesus died, when you think of the kind of death he died, that takes it to a whole different level. Paul expresses that in writing to the Philippians when he's talking about, you know, he that was in the form of God did not consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself. He became of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He came in the likeness of men. He died. But then Paul says, even the death of the cross. This whole thing of the death of the cross takes it to another level as far as the suffering that Jesus went through on our behalf. So as we consider for a moment the physical sufferings of Christ, think about what we read in the Gospels where Jesus was being abused by those men that he had been turned over to. And we're told there that Jesus was punched in the face by these men. He was blindfolded by them. And he was smitten in the head with a reed. And they were jeering and mocking and scoffing. And they were abusing him physically. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've seen somebody get physically beat up and not really, for whatever reason, be able to defend themselves. It's a very unpleasant thing. It's kind of a horrifying experience, really. And this is what was happening to Jesus. These brutal men were around him, and they were just beating him with no fear of possibly even killing him in the process. He was a criminal in their minds. He was nothing to them, and as far as they were concerned, they could have just beat him to death and it wouldn't have mattered. And so we find that this is the kind of treatment that Jesus endured. But we read also that he was scourged. Pilate turned him over to be scourged. And the picture of that would be like this. His hands would have been chained above his head to expose his back and legs to the executioner's whip, called a flagrum or a cat of nine tails. The whip was a series of long leather straps. At the end of the straps were heavy balls of metal intended to tenderize the body of the victim. Some of the straps had hooks made of glass, metal, or bone that would have sunk deeply into the shoulders, back, buttocks, and legs of the victim. Once the hooks had lodged into the tenderized flesh, the executioner would rip the skin, muscle, and tendons off the victim. The victim's skin and muscles would hang off the body like ribbons as the hooks dissected the skin to the nerve layers. The damage could go so deep that even the lungs were bruised, which made breathing difficult. Scourging was so brutal that many people died from it without even making it to their crosses. When we say Jesus died, this was the process that he went through. This is the process that he knew he would go through when he made that decision in eternity to create and to save. We read that Jesus was given his cross to carry. He carried it for a considerable distance. He probably carried what was called the patibulum, which would be the crossbar. But the crossbar would have weighed approximately 100 pounds. So after receiving all of this tremendous abuse, the crossbar was then attached to him, and he was forced to carry it. And we know that he was unable to carry it the complete distance. It had to be laid upon the shoulders of another person. And then we come to the crucifixion itself. Now, one of the reasons, I think, quite obviously, why the writers of the New Testament didn't go into these kinds of gory details of crucifixion is because people were familiar with crucifixion. They had seen it up close and personal. The Assyrians probably were the ones to invent persecution. The Persians took it to another level. Alexander the Great used crucifixion against his enemies. But the Romans perfected crucifixion, perfected it in the sense of the torturous aspect of it. They reserved it as the most painful mode of execution for the most despised people. The crucifixion methods varied with the sadism of the soldiers. So if you had some sadistic soldiers that were implementing the sentence to crucify, then it would have been even more a more vicious thing. The pain of crucifixion is so horrendous that a word was invented to explain it. That word is excruciating. And when we say I'm in excruciating pain, we're talking pain. I'm in serious pain. The word excruciating means out of the cross. The ancient Jewish historian Josephus called crucifixion the most wretched of deaths. The ancient Roman philosopher Cicero asked that decent Roman citizens not even speak of the cross because it was too disgraceful a subject for the ears of decent people. So this was just a horrific thing. It's just horrific. And I would say that to our sensibilities, especially to our sensibilities who have lived in a culture where law has, you know, ruled and where, you know, murder is fairly rare and it's punished and, you know, we don't have cruel or unusual types of punishment, things like that. I mean, you know, for people like us, if we were to actually see somebody be crucified, we probably couldn't bear it. We probably couldn't even hold up under the gruesomeness of the whole thing. The victim was affixed to the cross with either ropes or nails. In the case of Jesus, we know it was nails. These would have been 5 to 7 inch rough metal spikes driven into the most sensitive nerve centers on the human body, the hands, in the area of the wrist and the feet. This would have left the victim writhing in pain. The agony of crucifixion is due in part to the fact that it is a prolonged death by asphyxiation. Crucified people could hang on a cross for anywhere from 3 to 4 hours or for as long as 9 days, passing in and out of consciousness as their lungs struggle to breathe while laboring under the weight of their body. Now, we know that Jesus was on the cross for a matter of hours. Crucifixion did not take place in dignified privacy, but rather in open public places. That's just a horrific thing. And these are the things that Jesus willingly subjected himself to. You know, knowing completely, this is the thing. There was no, you know, in a sense, there was no mystery about what he was getting into. He knew completely what he was in for. And with that knowledge, he voluntarily gave himself. You know, I have to just admit, if God asked me, of course he wouldn't, but just say for conversation's sake, if he said, I want to use you to save the world and you need to get crucified in order to do it, what do you think? I'd say, no thanks. It's as simple as that. I wouldn't even think twice about it. But Jesus, knowing this, knowing what he was going to experience, he willingly comes. Now, there wasn't just the physical suffering. There was also tremendous emotional suffering. We read in Luke's gospel that Jesus in the garden, as he prayed there approaching his arrest and ultimately the cross, you remember Luke tells us that he sweat great drops of blood. Now, there is a condition that is extremely rare where a person under the most extreme forms of stress can sweat blood. But it's very, very rare because very few people ever come under that kind of stress and survive it. But Jesus is under this amazing amount of emotional distress over what is about to transpire, and he sweats, Luke tells us, great drops of blood. We mentioned it before, but looking at it from the emotional side, Jesus was mocked. Now, perhaps you've been mocked. I've been mocked on occasion. But this was a different sort of a mocking. It was a merciless mocking. It was a mocking with a murderous intent behind it. But this is the kind of thing that Jesus endured emotionally. He was spit upon. And in that culture, spitting on somebody was not just, you know, just to spit on them, but it was a statement of just absolute disapproval, disgust, just the most a contemptible thing you could demonstrate toward a person was to spit at them. And they spit at Jesus. When people were crucified, they were stripped completely naked. And there's absolutely no reason to think that Jesus would have been an exception to that. Stripped completely naked. And they're hung up on that cross publicly. And crucifixion and all that was involved in it was just utterly humiliating and totally dehumanizing. And this is the kind of emotional suffering that the Lord endured for us. This is what it means that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus despised this kind of treatment. He despised being in that position, taking his place among sinners, the holy, righteous Son of God. It, you know, in a lot of ways, it's just incomprehensible for us. But he was utterly and completely humiliated. And so emotionally, he suffered. But then he suffered spiritually. And his spiritual sufferings were expressed when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this again is something that I don't think we even have the capacity to even comprehend this. We might have at times in our lives been in such a desperate state that we felt perhaps that God had forsaken us, but the fact of the matter was he hadn't. But Jesus was genuinely, truly forsaken by God at this point. And again, for him, that would have been a completely different thing than it would be for us as well. We're sinners, and we've already experienced to some degree an alienation from God, so we know a little bit about that just because of our sinful state. But Jesus is sinless. He's pure, he's holy, he's righteous, and he has lived in perfect communion with his Father from the beginning. So his human spirit is now separated from God as he bears the punishment for our sin. The fellowship that was there from the beginning of his earthly life was now severed as the Father turns his face away from the Son. Now remember, Jesus is different than us in that he possesses a human nature and he possesses a divine nature. Of course, in his divinity, he could not die. He's eternal. But he was every bit a human being. Just as you and I communicate with God through our spirit, just as we are body, soul, and spirit, or spirit, soul, and body, so Christ, as a human being, he was the same, spirit, soul, and body. And it's in the realm of the spirit that we have that fellowship with God. But our fellowship with God, of course, was broken by sin. It is restored through faith in Christ. We go in and out sometimes of fellowship with him because of sin in our lives and so forth. But here's Jesus, who his entire life has lived in communion with the Father. He's the perfect man, and he's lived in perfect fellowship with the Father for all of these years. Remember that the 22nd Psalm mentions the fact, you made me hope in you when I was yet at my mother's breast. The idea there is that from infancy, there was this communion that existed between Christ, between Jesus and the Heavenly Father. But now this is all severed on the cross. And so this is why Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? And again, it's something that we can't really, we can't comprehend the magnitude of that grief of soul or that torment of mind or, you know, however it would have been. It's just, to a large degree, it is beyond us. But there was one other thing that was happening there as well. And this is one that we cannot even fathom. That at this moment, an eternity of God's holy wrath against sin is somehow absorbed by Christ the eternal Son in those hours there upon the cross. See, this is the one that's just completely beyond us. We cannot even, there's nothing we could know of to even make that kind of connection. But it is here, as we're told in Hebrews, that through the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself without spot to God. It's because he is eternal. And remember, the wrath against sin, the punishment for sin, is eternal judgment. That's the punishment. That's the thing that we've been delivered from. But in order for us to be delivered from it, Jesus had to experience it. He had to suffer the wrath and the indignation of God against all sin. And because that judgment is eternal, only an eternal being could do that. But we are mortals. We are created beings. And this is where it just all, it breaks down for us to the point that this is what I cannot grasp. I cannot fathom it in the least. But I can stand in amazement of it. And I can praise the Lord for it. I heard a statistic the other day that it kind of shocked me, actually. And the statistic was 66% of people polled in America believe they're going to heaven. Of that same 66%, or of that same group of people that was polled, 1% believe that people go to hell. 1%. 66%, sure, they got a pretty good chance of getting into heaven. Only 1% of those polled thought that they might not go to heaven. And this is a radical delusion. This is a massive distortion in people's thinking. Because as we've been studying in Romans here, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God is going to punish sin, and he's going to punish sin eternally. That's the judgment for sin. And the only way to escape the eternal wrath of God is to come to Christ, who bore the wrath of God on the cross and is now able to forgive us of our sins. And as we've been studying, justify us and all of those other wonderful things. But this is what it means when we read Christ died for us.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Christ Died for Us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Love of God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0121. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.